I've chosen this morning to expose you to kind of a broad front. We could take some one little corner and develop it fully. I've chosen to do the other thing this morning, and I bring you a question. What are you going to make of your life? And I wish I could have the genius to address that to each one of you. And sometimes you wonder just what you're going to make, and you think you're playing against the odds. I want to lay a little premise for the things that I want to say, and I start out with scripture from 2 Corinthians. He which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. And you in your youth and your health and your aspiration are determining these days whether you will sow sparingly or bountifully. The glorious privilege of being in a university opens the door to you. I was impressed with what a day can mean. For the last 3 weeks, I've been confined, and in that confinement, I've been reading. We get so little time to read, and I read A Way of Life by Sir William Osler, one of the great men of the world. And he said, after he had been exposed to college training, he had the good fortune to read a line from Thomas Carlyle. And he said, all of his life was shaped in the reading. And I quote him, our main business is not to see what lies dimly at a distance, but to do what lies clearly at hand. That's a commonplace sentiment, he said. But Carlyle said it in a way that struck me and stuck with me and enabled me to utilize to the full the single talent God had entrusted to me. That's the humble remark of one of the great men of the world. Now, if you don't mind, I'd like to lay as a premise two great thoughts. Your life this morning is sacredly yours. It's never been lived before, and nobody else can ever live it. And only you can set the bounds. Sometime you read 2 Nephi in the second chapter, verses 15 and 27, and you'll know what I mean. I leave it to you to read. In the presence of these judges, could they all speak to you? And one of them will. I wish I could have the genius to say what I think they would want to advise you to do. They represent a great institution set up to help to guide youth. And their whole concern is that you shall come into the richness that can be yours. In the last issue of Collier's, and I mean the last issue because it was discontinued after it, there's a striking article in it, 18 million teenagers can't be wrong. And I've read two other studies since reading that document, and then I bring you this wholesome thought. All of the people that appear before these judges, all of the offenses that are committed by less than 5% of the available group that might come before them. And I'm so happy to join with you this morning. I don't bring you any preachment by way of harassment. I come in the glory of youth, believing in you. And I'm looking at the 95%, and I think at the why. I could safely raise it to 98% of fine, wholesome, ambitious young people. And I want to give you a kind of a homemade approach to this thing called life and what you're going to do with it. I wish I could say it as these judges would say it to you. Some young people make mistakes, and some of them are sad mistakes. I know that. I work with enough of them in an attempt at repentance and forgiveness and a new start. I thought as I drove down here this morning, can you just fancy that instead of sitting here in the presence of these judges, you're sitting in the presence of the great judge who one day will pass judgment on all of us. And I think when we appear before him, it won't be a chronicle of the things we did which were wrong alone. It will be, what did you do with the glorious heritage which was entrusted to you? Now, because I'm making rather a sketchy and rather an elaborate survey, I ask your attention to go fast with me and you do the filling in. What you make of yourselves will depend upon three great things. Your knowing, your doing, and your being. I know the English experts tell us that participles are not strong words, but I've converted the participles into the nouns, and they're strong nouns. Now for a brief minute, this problem of knowing. Your college years are so short. They will have come and gone before you know it. And you will have walked out with those of us of other collegiate days. I can't believe that life's gone so far, so fast for me. I remember the days when your president was a student like you. And I used to come into this institution and thrill at some of these fine students, and there are those in this room this morning who, if you'll pay the same price, he had no genius that you may not have. But he was sent to the hospital because he's worked day and night to capitalize the talent God gave him. And don't ever forget it. And the men and the women who constitute this faculty, and these judges are my evidence too. What a privilege is yours, what you may learn. So rich a curriculum, I turned to it yesterday. I haven't time to go into the great fields of your curriculum, but there's privilege there for every man and woman gathered here this morning. But today I want to lead you into five fields, and you'll build in all the others too. This lovely music certainly deserves somebody's attention. I think it's a great accompaniment to life, and I would bid you all go there. But I want to ask you to look at... Night before last, I had a great experience in my own home. I tried out an experiment. I wanted to come to know the genius of Elvis Presley. I'm getting too old to rock and roll, but thank the Lord I can still listen. But then on the heels of Elvis Presley, I put on La Boheme. And I listened to that glorious music, some of the most wonderful that's ever been given to the world. And if you want to try an interesting experiment, try Elvis for 5 minutes and then try La Boheme for 5 minutes, and I'll leave it to you. And the interesting thing in this realm of learning that every time you choose one, you rule out the other. Try them all. The human soul's big enough for the expense. I don't come in with an indictment against anybody. I think some of us who don't quite succeed as well as Elvis has could suffer, you know. Well, we'll skip it. I want to just name five fields that you take a good look at. And the first one I give you is the languages. Fresh from this experience in Europe, you don't all have to be linguists, but if I were in college and in your shoes, if I were a young man with the prospect of a mission, I know I'd take one foreign language. I'd take German, or I'd take French, or I'd take Spanish, and don't worry about the choice. You may study for a couple of years in German and then be sent to a Spanish-speaking country. Don't let it worry you. You'll find some Germans down there. But what's more important, that the 2 years that you spent in your German will help you in the Spanish. I had to qualify in French and German, and for that I've always been so grateful. It came back a little. I had so much fun. I'd talk half English and half German, and my interpreter never knew which way I was going. But you get the flavor of a country, you get the flavor, you get the genius of a people, if you know enough a little bit about the thing to talk just a little bit. So I suggest to you that you go into the field of language. Remember that language is the tool of thought. And as you come to know this language of yours, and nothing will help you so much in it as to get it in the complicated structure of a grammar unlike anything we have in English. The second thing I want to suggest to you is that you introduce yourself to the great field of science. You're living in an atomic age. Now, you don't have to be a specialist in science, but open the door wide enough to understand what's going on these days. I fly a very great deal, and I'm looking forward to that jet flight. I love the thought of that pilot, that air pilot. He came back to visit us a little while back as we flew home from New York. I thought we were doing pretty well, 400 miles an hour, and he said, "This is nothing." He says, "I'm living for the day when I'll fly a jet and leave New York, 3,000 miles to San Francisco, 3 hours change of time. I want to be able to leave New York and reach San Francisco before I leave." Well, I said, "I hope you take me along. I don't beg of you to become scientists, all of you. You have some great men in this institution. Expose yourself long enough to get the point of view. I offer you a third field. Turn to the great fields of history and geography. Take a tip from President Jensen." I ask him how he can do it. He looks as young as when I first knew him. I think it's history that's done it for him. He's learned that we live such a little short strip, you know, in the great endless spell of time. What are the great events in the history of mankind? What are the turning points in civilization? And tuck in a little geography. What are the greatest centers in the world? I've been working for the last 6 months on an inquiry that I had thrown at me that's full of challenge. What are the great rivers of the world? Name the 10 great rivers of the world and see what's been built upon them. The great cities are all built upon water. That gives residents of Provo and Salt Lake City great hope. But you turn to the... Well... I ask you to look into a fourth field, my own field of yesteryear. The field of literature. I'd be ungrateful if I didn't make reference to the 2 great years of my life in that field. For in 2 years, I was led into, and I caught fire with 4 great poets, Chaucer and Shakespeare and Milton and Dante, and the companion prose writers that we were led into those 2 years were Matthew Arnold and Ruskin and Carlyle and Emerson. And I've never been the same since. I don't know what your great favorites will be. Try naming. Look, we had the glorious privilege of standing in Westminster Abbey, and in a spot from here to these fine young men, we stood in the presence of the sacred remains of Chaucer and Spenser and Dryden and Gray and Wordsworth and Browning and Tennyson. I'm playing with tens this morning. Name the 10 greatest English poets, and then do the same thing for America. And then let your reading lead you into the presence of greatness. The fifth field I want to lead you into, and you're led into it gloriously in this institution, is the field of religion. The one corner where you face the great eternal queries. You speculate on that soul of yours. Whence you came and whither you go. The one field that transcends all others to give you the ultimate values of life and to raise the question, what part of life is this thing we call mortality? Well, that's a rather heavy introduction to the field of knowing, but I commend it to you. Important as knowing is, there's a more important field, and that's the field of doing. Life is always bigger than learning. It's a wonderful thing to know, but it is better to do. I think these judges would bear me out if I had a single recipe to give you. It would be, keep busy doing good things. You want a hint or two? Follow these grand young men in their athletic achievement, if that appeals to you. I listened to these boys who came back. The slump of a couple of games, and I got a little nervous. But they came back as champions always come back. I give my tribute to Coach Watts and to the boys. We've organized here in this community now some 17 wards, and if you aren't already active in those wards, I commend to you that you get busy in your church. Cultivate a wholesome school activity of some kind. Find a fascinating hobby. It can be the simplest thing in the world. If you come into my office someday, you'll be intrigued by the simplicity of mine. I bring rocks from the far corners of the globe. A little one that I can put in my pocket. One from the Dead Sea and one from the Sea of Galilee. One from the volcano of Hawaii and a rounded rock from a glacier in Alaska. I don't just pick up rocks, I pick up a corner out of Hitler's hideout. And I get a bit of a stone from the top of the mound at Waterloo. Where will you go and what will you... I don't know what your hobby may be. It's a lovely book. It's a card. It can be anything so simple. It occupies you. I have great respect for those stamp gatherers who gather stamps round the world. And it bespeaks an interest. It isn't just the stamp. It's the country from which the stamp comes. I commend to you, grand young people, and I caught it as I came through the door this morning. We love it in the part of you people. I said it last time I was here. You walk down over the hill and you bring a paper, but you put it away. God bless you for your courtesy, for the little things you do. A stranger walks through yonder door and you walk up and thank you. It's wonderful. Don't ever forget it. A young man's gracious enough to open the door for you, young lady. Don't just take it for granted. Say thank you. And if you smile as you say thank you, it could be that first date. There's so... well... That isn't my theme this morning. But Sister Benyon's with me. And when I tell you of the 45 glorious years we've had, I don't fool myself when I tell you. You're smart enough. You listen to Elvis. I don't have to spell out the details. I've said enough. But it isn't enough to go into this field of knowing and doing. You go into the field of believing, and I'll do this so briefly that you'll have to catch it on the fly. I want to leave you a little homemade recipe, borrowing, if I may, the function of a judge. And if I miss the essentials, I hope my successor will correct and amplify and make clear. Fortunately, you're not left. You're not children anymore. You're young men and women. You know. And fortunately, you have the greatest monitor in the world, your conscience. And nobody in this student body will go astray because of ignorance. He, if he goes astray, will go astray because he tries to shush his conscience and violate the rules of mankind. Did I have the time this morning? I'd love to play with you on the four things I'm going to ask everybody in this hall to learn by heart. The Ten Commandments, and if you have any trouble, drop me a note and I'll give you the scheme. You might as well learn them in their order. Four, centering in God. Five, centering in fellow man. And the great one in between, parenthood. And in the order of their importance, you can't miss them. And so I commend to you the Ten Commandments to know by heart. I give you the Beatitudes, and again split them in two. The first four individual, the last four social. Psychologically interpreted, tremendous. And the third great document is your own articles of faith, which again you can learn in their order. And if you'll add to those three, the fourth great guarantee to health, the word of wisdom. You don't have to look for things to do. Now as I close, I give you my simple little homemade recipe, and I'm going to talk to you as if you were sons and daughters of mine. One, live in honor. And you don't need a diagram for that one. Two, covet or seize no man's property. I've taken the Ten Commandments and the Beatitudes and the Articles of Faith, and I've tried to bring them down to five simple statements. Live in honor, covet or seize no man's property, wrong no one's good name, make a habit of being helpful. Number four, of doing some little kindness along the way. And fifth, keep in regular contact with your Maker. What will you make of your life? Ponder it today. And God bless you to realize your dreams. Thank you. You're wonderful.